Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, minds, and spirits be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this portion of the message might be difficult for some of you, and that's okay. I will be available for counseling afterwards. But it's a great example of defying odds. In October of 2004, the Boston Red Sox were trailing the New York Yankees 3-0. In a best-of-7 American League Championship Series. They were down 3-0. Now, after Game 3 of the series, in which the Red Sox had just lost, Bob Ryan, who writes sports for the Boston Globe, wrote this. And it's so typical for us from New England. He said, "They are down 3-0 after last night's 19-8 rout at the hand of the Yankees. And in this sport, that's an official death sentence. Soon it will be over, and we'll spend another dreary winter lamenting this and lamenting that." How true. But the Red Sox, down 3-0, and trailing by a run in the bottom of the 9th inning, in game number 4, when they're about to be swept, came back and won game 4, and then they won game 5, and then they won game 6, and they won game 7, and they won the series, and then they went on to sweep the St. Louis Cardinals in 4 games, and the Boston Red Sox won their first World Series since 1918, dating back to the presidency of Woodrow Wilson. Could you tell I was excited? You should have saw me the day of. Like the Red Sox in 2004, Benaiah, who once chased a lion into a pit on a snowy day, faced some pretty steep odds. In this somewhat obscure passage from the book of 2 Samuel in the first 2/3 of your Bible called the Old Testament, we find the story of this brave man named Benaiah. We're told that in addition to killing a lion in a pit on a snowy day, that Benaiah had other exploits. The scripture tells us that Benaiah not only killed the lion in a pit on a snowy day, but that at one point he killed 2 Moabites. Moabites were the enemies of God's people called Israel, and they always sought to destroy the Israelites. But Benaiah killed 2 of them at one time. And then we also hear that Benaiah killed an Egyptian. Now, this just wasn't any Egyptian, but it was a giant Egyptian. And it was a giant Egyptian that was armed with a long spear. But Benaiah only had a club. So you can imagine this big, tall Egyptian with a bunch of reach, with a long spear, yet Benaiah only had a club, and Benaiah still cleaned his clock. He still prevailed. He'd go on with such an impressive resume to become the head of the Secret Service for the king, head of his bodyguard. Now, Benaiah was a man who faced some pretty steep odds. You know, first, in taking on the Moabites, I don't know about you, but usually when it comes down to fists, when it's 2 against 1, I usually go with the 2 versus the 1. And then, you know, with the Egyptian, I mean, gosh, you know, the odds that week must have started out 15-1. They must have opened at 15-1. And then by Saturday night, they were probably 30-1 in favor of the Egyptian killing Benaiah, the big, gigantic Egyptian, armed with the spear, with little old Benaiah with just the club. But Benaiah subdues even the Egyptian. And then, of course, there was that lion in a pit on a snowy day. If we were betting people, then we would have put our bet on the lion, the 500-pound lion, the lion that could run 35 miles per hour, the lion that had 5 times better vision than our hero, Benaiah, the lion who had such deep, strong and sharp claws for maneuvering in a pit on a snowy day. And yet Benaiah even overcomes the lion. In each case, the lion chaser, Benaiah, defied the odds. He didn't choose to focus on disadvantages. Benaiah, the lion chaser, didn't make excuses. He didn't try to avoid situations where the odds were stacked against him. Instead of running like a scaredy cat, he chased a lion. Now, not unlike Benaiah, there's certainly times in our lives when we come across situations where we're facing some pretty stiff odds. And while I certainly hope none of us find ourselves in a pit eye to eye with a lion on a snowy day, I think at one time or another in our lives, we're all going to face a situation where odds are stacked against us in a similar way, where we come face to face with a lion in a pit on a snowy day, figuratively speaking, if you will. For example, you know, the lions that we might come face to face with in a pit on a snowy day, figuratively speaking for us, might be that dream that we've always held on to, that God-sized dream, but that we never acted on because it scared us to death or because we thought people would look at us as crazy. Or maybe, you know, coming face to face with a lion for us and being in the pit is just a really stupid thing we did in the past, or the addiction that we're fighting in the present, or the impossible, insurmountable debt that we're carrying around that leaves us feeling like we're in a pit on a snowy day with a lion. Or you still yet, you know, maybe we've been living life under a dark cloud of self-doubt where we think the odds are against us because we've been told, you can't do that. You're just a woman. Or you're just too young. Or you can't do that because that would mean you'd be getting above your raising. Facing such things, it seems to me we have two choices in this life when we face those things, when we find ourselves in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. We can either choose to chase the lion, or we can run like scaredy cats. We can be lion chasers like Benaiah and chase those God-given opportunities that are before us. We can be a lion chaser like Benaiah and follow the dream that God has laid on our heart, or we can shrink from what God calls and puts before us. If you're a lion chaser and seek to seize the opportunities God puts in front of you, you'll be proactive. You'll not be consumed with playing it safe, because lion chasers know, you see, that playing it safe in this life is actually the most risky thing. If you're to be a lion chaser, you'll always be on the lookout for those God-given opportunities. In the end, you know what? What sets lion chasers apart from scaredy cats who run and who kind of get behind their covers and kind of, you know, whimper and whine, I can't face that. But a lion chaser, what sets a lion chaser apart from a scaredy cat is not the outcome, because there's plenty of lion chasers that find themselves in a pit with a lion on a snowy day and they don't come out. What sets a lion chaser apart from a scaredy cat is the courage. It's the courage to pursue that dream. It's the courage to take that God-given opportunity by the horns and pursue it, come what may. This morning I want to share with you some lessons that I think that we get from this Benaiah character, this obscure character from Scripture, from 2 Samuel 23. Some lessons that I think can help us if we have that dream inside of us. We find ourselves in a situation that's a God-given opportunity that needs to be seized and that God is calling us to seize. One lesson we find for pursuing the God-sized dreams and God-given opportunities we might have is that God works most powerfully when the odds are stacked against us. God works most powerfully, you see, when we're at the end of our human strength and our strength alone just won't cut it anymore. Remember how the odds were so against Benaiah? See, lion chasers know that God is bigger than any problem, any stumbling block, any obstacle that would get in the way of seizing a God-given opportunity or pursuing a God-given dream. You know, what we see in Benaiah's story and what we can take to the bank is that it's in the midst of facing these odds, these odds that seem so much against us, that God's glory is actually revealed and that God teaches us something when we go through all of that. When we're facing impossible odds, when we find ourselves confronted by a lion in a pit on a snowy day in our lives, guess what? That's when God shows up and does miracles. That's when God shows up to do amazing things. You see, there's a pattern in Scripture. It happens time and time again. And that is, in most stories of Scripture, God doesn't show up until all human possibilities have been exhausted. God doesn't tend to show up in Scripture until humans have put forth all of their effort. This is why I say, if it can be done without God, if it can be done in our own strength, if it can be done without God, is it really worth doing? These things I'm sharing with you might start to change your perspective then. You know, when you're facing odds in your life, that, you know what, maybe God allows us to come face to face with some lions to teach us, number one, how glorious and how big and how awesome His power is, and number two, to take us down a peg so that we recognize that we can't prevail in our own strength. See, lion chasers thrive in the toughest of circumstances because they know when the odds are against them, it sets the stage for God's amazing miracles and for their own growth and learning. Well, if God is in the business of working most powerfully when odds are against us, as we see in the story of Benaiah, then that leads us to the second lesson I think we can call from Benaiah's story that Benaiah teaches us. And that if that's all true, then we need to change our prayer life. We need to change our prayer life. Too often, if you're like me, you pray safe prayers. And you pray prayers that always ask God to take the odds away, to lessen the odds, to make it more safe and less risky. To pray, you know, God, reduce the odds that I'm facing. Give me the perfect setup, God. Take this away and take that away. We're always praying for God to put the odds in our favor. But maybe there's times when God wants to keep the odds against us, despite our prayers, so we can experience the miracle of the provision of God's love and the miracle of His divine proportion. Perhaps our impossible situations are opportunities to catch a glimpse of a new dimension of God's glory. Maybe that's what faith is about, huh? Maybe faith is the ability to trust God, even when the odds are stacked against us. Maybe faith is trusting God to see us through, even when we're in the pit with a lion on a snowy day. If this is the case, if God really does reveal His glory when the odds are stacked against us, then maybe we do well to enlarge our prayers. If we believe that even when faced with impossible odds, that God holds our destiny and God holds us in the hollow of His hand and that He gives us all we need to overcome, then shouldn't we start praying the unthinkable? And shouldn't we start doing the impossible? I mean, if that's how God really is and that's who we believe God to be, shouldn't we attempt the impossible and pray the unthinkable? Bill Hybels, who's the founder of Will Creek Community Church in Illinois, once called upon leaders to set bag goals. BHAG. Big, hairy, audacious goals. He said, if you're a leader, you're going to set big, hairy, audacious goals. God wants you to set big, hairy, audacious goals. I would add to that, that as followers of Christ, whether you find yourself in a leadership position or not, we need to start praying big, hairy, audacious prayers. We need to start praying with some faith that God is who God says He is. I want to ask you, what has been your big, hairy, audacious prayer as of late? For your family, for your community, for your church, for your children, for your work. Is your prayer big enough, or is it something you don't even need God to do, but something you could do in your own strength? See, I think we underestimate how much spiritual authority we have when we pray in accordance with the will of God. And that leads us to our third lesson, our final lesson from the lion chaser Benaiah. And that is, the biggest problem we face when we're in that pit on a snowy day with a lion, when the odds are stacked against us, is our small view of God. It's our small view of God. When we find ourselves in a pit facing near certain death of one kind or another, our biggest problem is usually not what is immediately before us. Usually our biggest problem is our inadequate understanding of who God is. See, God is so much bigger than we can even imagine. The Bible tells us that for God, nothing is impossible. The Bible tells us that the God that we worship, that His ways aren't our ways, that His thinking is not our thinking. In fact, the Bible tells us in the very beginning that just with a word, God brought forth the whole universe. Do you think the God who with a word can bring forth the whole universe, whose ways aren't our ways, whose thoughts aren't our thoughts, the one whom the Bible says for nothing is impossible, do you think that God can overcome the odds that are facing you in a pit with a lion on a snowy day? Let me tell you something, church. God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want God. All right, let me back up. God wants you to... It's in the worship program, actually. It's in the message download. God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. Let me say that again. Try. God wants you to get where He wants you to go even more than you want to get where God wants you to go. That didn't sink in. Take it home and think about it, because it's awfully profound. We do well to recognize that sometimes the path, though, to getting where God wants us to go more than we even want to go, did I get it right? Sometimes means coming face to face with a lion and overcoming those odds that are stacked against us. In his book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, Pastor Mark Batterson rightly says that we human beings often experience two types of regret in this life. One type of regret most of us know well. We learn it when we're children. We do something wrong and we regret it because it brings pain to us or pain to somebody else. But a second type of regret that I think is more profound, that I think goes deeper, that I think comes with maturity and age, and oftentimes comes at the end of life for people, is the regret of inaction. It's when we haven't done something that we know we should have done. This is the regret of missed opportunities, because instead of chasing lions and seizing God-given opportunities, we run like scaredy cats. Instead of chasing the lion and pursuing our good God-given dreams, we just settle. We settle for good enough. So will you let the regret of inaction become a reality in your life just because indeed odds are stacked against you? Will you regret not asking for a hand in marriage or starting the family? Will you regret not going back to get the degree even though you're twice the age of the people that are in college? Will you regret not putting in for the job at work because all your coworkers say that you could never get it? Will you regret not allowing the Spirit to penetrate your heart to make you a new creation? Will you regret not doing what God has called you to do, but instead do what others expect you to do because it's safe, because the odds are against you? See, when we constantly play it safe, when we never step out in faith, when we never pursue God-given opportunities and dreams because the odds are stacked against us, then we set ourselves up for a life that's filled with regret over inaction. So I leave you with the question that Mark left us with in the video. What lion is God calling you to chase today? And as you do chase that lion and seize that dream and go after that opportunity, I leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. To Him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.